I'm going to talk about prayer today, and I want to talk about something happens when God's people pray. In Acts chapter 12 and verses 1 to 24, the Word of God reads, shall we all stand in respect to the reading of God's Word? In Acts chapter 12, 1 to 24, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the Jews. Congregation, please. And because he saw it pleased the Jew, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the day of unleavened bread. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Verse 7, and behold, the angels of the Lord came upon him, and light shine in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise, get up. Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. Verse 9, and he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true which was done by the angels, but thought he saw a vision. Verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of surety that the Lord had sent his angels and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of people of the Jews. And verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Verse 15, I want you to observe their reaction. All right? Verse 15, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they say, it is his angel. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold the peace, declaring unto them how the Lord has brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show this thing unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keeper and commanded them that they should be put to death. And he went down to Judea, to Caesarea, and there abode. Verse 21, and upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Verse 23, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. The Lord bless us, the reading of his word. Please be seated. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day that You have given to us, that we can hear the Word of God and worship You. We pray, dear Lord, that You will speak in and through Thy servant and impress upon heart the message and the thing You want to impress upon the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friend, prayer is a wonderful privilege. It is a privilege of all believers to exercise, to arm ourselves so that we can be, we can have power with God and we can have power with man. You see, God has opened this throne room, and invited all Christians, all born-again believers, to enter into His presence with their petitions. You know, the Lord say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of needs." You see, God promised to hear our call today, whether it be for mission or for our needs and for the challenges, for the soul-winning endeavor we are trying to put up in our program, whether it be VBS or CAM or whatever it is. We need to do that in prayer, because the Bible tells us to call upon me. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, say, "Call upon me and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So God is inviting us to pray, all right? And then He promised to answer our prayer, not just to pray, not just go to the perfunctory of prayer, but to pray for answers, to pray for God to move. We don't just pray and then we go home. We pray till God say something is to be done, and God is going to make things happen. That is the kind of prayer God honors, all right? So He promised to answer our prayer when we pray according to His will. You know, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, you know what the Lord said? "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." The Bible says in verse 15 of 1 John 5, "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have desire that we have that we desire of Him." You see, we know that there are many privileges, there are many promises, and associated with prayers. But you know, one of the things that we see today is that most Christians do not take advantage of the ministry of prayers. Do not move the hands of God. Do not ask God to break through barriers. You know, sometimes we find it so hard to do the work here in Singapore because maybe the people, due to the affluence of life, it's harder to reach. But you know something? It's not impossible. There are one over million foreigners that are now right here in Singapore. Can you imagine that you pray that God will use your church and that your church can be an instrument where you get the Myanmar people saved, the Thai people saved, the Filipinos saved, and many of those that works here in Singapore, and then you start to train them, and they use that as an agency to do church planting work all over Myanmar, all over Asia. Isn't that Singapore to be the hub of mission work? And that cannot happen. It can only happen when we pray. It can only happen when we have a vision. It can only happen when we are dead serious about the possibility that God can do in and through us. That's the reason why I said something happens when God's people pray. And I want also to tell you this, all right? If you look at this passage of scriptures, it's talking about the power of corporate prayer. Not just individual, but a church praying together. That's going to make things happen. Isn't it exciting? You have a great group of people here. And the thing is that if you don't take advantage of the fact that you, all of you, can get together and pray. I mean, pray for the Lord to do something. You know, a lot of us pray for many things. We never follow up with our prayer. We just pray for all our needs. But how many of us have only come together to pray for just one item? And prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed till the Lord say, the Lord is going to use this church to do a great work for the Lord. Something happened when God's people pray. And I'm telling you, if you look at this passage of scriptures, we just read 24 verses in all, I want to tell you that something happened in this group of people. This small congregation that met at John Mark's house, and they prayed. And I want you to know that it was a time of trouble, all right, a time of problems, rather. You look at verses 1 to 5. The Bible tells us that now, in verse 1, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, persecution time, hostility time. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jew, he proceeded further to take Peter also. All right, and he go on to see what happened. And look at verse 5. Now, Peter therefore was kept in prison. And listen to the second half of that verse in verse 5. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. For who? For him. In other words, the church got together, went down to their knees, and they prayed for only one item. God deliver Peter. And they didn't just pray and then they say, okay, we prayed our prayer, right? We go home. They say, unless and until the Lord answers that prayer, we're going to get out of our knees. We're going to pray till God do something about it. How many of us are that determined with our prayer request, our prayer items, that we're going to pray, and pray till God answers our prayer? And that is the only item they prayed. Imagine they prayed day and night without fail. There was no stopping. They keep on praying. And some of us, you know, when we listen to a sermon 20 minutes down in the message, we're already sleeping. But they were praying. All right? Why they were praying? Because this is a time of problems. And by the way, we're living in troublous time. There are more violence committed against Christians than ever before. We read news about what ISIS has been doing, beheading Christians and driving. There were persecution on the rise. We are living in time of problems. There were attacks. Look at the verse right there. There were attacks. James, the brother of John, was one of the Lord's inner circles. And what happened? He was put to death by Herod. There were murder and killings. I mean, I'm telling you, it's real. It's the real thing. It's not a presumed thing or something that you kind of imagine. There are actually people having their head chopped off. There are people having their, killed because of the faith. And it is happening every day. Right now, even in the world that we live in today. In other words, it's a real thing. This is a time of attack. Peter had been in prison and was sitting on a death row waiting for his own execution. Another one was taken from the inner company. And the Jews pressed this attack against the early church because they hated the gospel that was preached. My friend, has always been in the past. It's still the same. The sentiments against Christianity, against the gospel preaching, is still the same today. There were attacks. Herod persecuted the early church because it gave him political advantage. A lot of people do a lot of things for various reasons. Not only there were attacks, let me tell you something else that was even more serious. That was apprehension. What do I mean by that? Well, the church did not know what the future held. I mean, when persecution started to come, what do you do when, you know, people are being arrested in Singapore, you know, left and right? And what are you going to do? You feel very, very afraid to go to church, right? You don't know what to do. There was certain apprehension among the people in the church, right? Because the future is very uncertain. After all, these people, you know, have left the Jewish root. I mean, they have embraced Christianity, Jesus Christ, and now they are facing with opposition. Can you imagine if you are there, how you feel? Apprehension. And then they were afraid of the hatred of the Jews and the king, you know, and then paying attention on the leadership. But what happened? They turned the gun on the members. What happened when the members get arrested? Or you will find all kinds of excuses not to enter the church at the time because you don't want to get caught, you know, the police raid the place and then you get arrested. But that was what happened. There was a time of apprehension. And then thirdly, there was an adversary. There were people, Herod by name. Herod was the one who killed James and now he arrested Peter. You see, this is a real thing. This is a time of problems. And this is a time... Something has to be done. I'm telling you, when we do the mission work, when we do Christian work, and so on, we are also seeing the possibility, the danger just around us. The question is that, do we respond to the call of God? Do we say, yes, Lord, we'll go? We do not know. We have no guarantee. If you look for guarantee to do the Lord's work, you'll never get yourself going. You need to trust the Lord to supply. You need a Lord to protect. You need to do what God put in your heart and what God called you to. You know, when someone said this, when God called you to jump, you don't ask, why should I jump? You said, Lord, how high? How high do you want me to jump? How far do you want me to go? And I'm going, Lord, as long as you tell me what to do. And you see, Herod was the adversary. You know, and then he was trying to, the church find itself under attack from his enemy. I mean, that was a very scary time, very difficult time. And only someone who's willfully ignorant will say that, well, we're living in a better time. A lot of people, you know, they understand that this is not a good time for the church to be a Christian. A lot of problems. You see, we are not immune to problems or trouble or persecution. Even in 2014, the world is getting more and more violent. All right? But I want to tell you something else. It was a time of problem, yes. But I'm telling you, it was also a time of prayer opportunities. Prayer opportunities. Look at verse 5, the first part. Peter was kept in prison, right? And what happened? Look at the second part. It says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let me tell you this, all right? You can respond to crisis and difficulties in various ways. You can panic. You can run away. You can do all those things that human being and human logic will want you to do. But you can also do this. Together as a church, come together on your knees and pray and pray and pray for the omnipotent hand of God to start moving in the hearts of people that will not otherwise be moved unless through the power of God in your prayer. That is the only thing. So what happened is this. This you see the word but right there, the conjunction, the little word but, make the whole world of difference. The situation looked desperate, yes, but it looked as though Peter might be put to death, right? But wonderful. It looks as though this church might be destroyed before he carried the gospel to the world, right? But here's an interesting thing. They did the right thing. They did not panic. They went down to the knees and they said, we're going to pray for one thing, and we will pray till the Lord answer us, and that is to pray for deliverance of our dear brother Peter. We are not going to get out of our knees until God answers us. So you see the word, you see, it is a fervent prayer kind of a style. You see the word, prayer was made without ceasing. The word ceasing comes from a Greek word that means to stretch forth. If you know the medical idea of having a stretched ligament, having a pulled muscle when you play your football, and you will end up on the floor, you couldn't move anymore, but you still try to get up and move on. That is the meaning of the word ceasing. In other words, they pray till they were physically exhausted, tired. They have all kinds of doubt that run through their mind whether God will ever even answer the prayer. That man, Herod, had already killed one of our leaders and he is taking another one. What makes it possible that this Peter will be delivered and God did not deliver James? There were all kinds of questions. There were all kinds of struggle, but they were going through what we call a stretch ligament. They were injured. The idea of going beyond the boundary. They prayed. They persevered on because they believed that God needed to deliver Peter. God needs to stop the trend of persecution and martyrdoms, and God is the only one who can do the job. And they prayed. And they prayed like any human being with all the frailty and difficulties. You see, that applies to prayer. A picture of fervency is a picture of people pouring out their hearts in prayer before the Lord as they seek their face for their needs. All right, this is the kind of prayer that we need to undertake. Because in James chapter 5, verse 16, what did James say? The fervent, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, the effectual fervent comes from the idea of energetic, passionate. Very energetically passionate. The prayer was not mediocre. The prayer was of power, of passion, of earnestness. God needs to bring us back to the time of that kind of prayer for missions and for the challenges that the church is facing. And not to be mediocre in your prayers. And not only it is fervent prayer, secondly, it is faithful prayer. Oh boy, by faithful prayer, I mean they will pray a prayer of faith. Now, we are human beings, right? We really don't have that much faith. I understand. You know, in fact, if you read further down their way, they respond when Peter knocked on the door. You know how human beings can be. But do you know what? They're still in their, like the man, I believe God, but please help down my unbelief. Isn't that the kind of prayer, the kind of frailty we have? But nevertheless, frail people pray. And you know what? frail people can still touch the heart of God and the omnipotent power of God. Because as much as we are so frail, it is not what we are, it is the power of God that makes the difference. And you know what the Bible tells us about this role of faith in prayer? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 said, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, and ye shall receive." 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have in Him." I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that when we pray, we are talking to our Father. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father delighted to hear and answer our prayer as His children. Think that you're bothering God when you pray. He loves to hear your prayers. He loves you to pray. And that's why in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, the Bible says, "Fear not, little flocks, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. And it was not only fervent prayer, faithful prayer, but I'm telling you, it was focused prayer. Focused prayer. The Bible tells us that the prayer was made for Him. Made for Peter. They were not just praying for everything, the weather and everything else, but they were praying for that man. They were not praying to their own. You know, a lot of us, sometimes we are found guilty of being so selfish in our prayer. We have, "God, give us this. God, give us that. God, you know, do this for me. God, do this for my family," and so on. But here, this is a group of people. They were not praying for themselves. They were praying for Peter. Boy, it was a focused prayer. It was an unselfish prayer. And Peter's was a focus of this prayer meeting. And they prayed for a specific purpose. And you know what? They were not generalized praying. They were not asking for something that's general. They said, "God, deliver this man. This man of God." Praying and seeking and shaking the throne room of God until the foundation of the prayer path between God and man started to vibrate. And I tell you something else, it was a family prayer. It was not individual prayer. The church is a family, by the way. Do you know that? We are family. The pastor is like your spiritual father. Right? That's why, you know, that's why we need to respect our father, you know. And so here, there's a family of God's people, and they pray. As a family, they seek God's help for a brother in great needs. How this will touch heaven. The prayer had power because they were united in their walk with God. They joined their hands, their hearts, and they lift up their voices to God. And God heard them, and God was moving in power to answer the prayer of this dear church. Was touching heaven, my friend. It was touching heaven up there. Today we need to touch heaven with some of the very vital needs. Some of you have family members that are not saved. You may think that, you know, maybe brother so and so sister can get saved, and brother so and so uncles can get saved. But my brother, my uncle, they're so hard, you know, they can never get saved. I'm telling you, that is the kind of thing that require intercessory prayer. Pray till the Lord move in hearts. You know, sometimes we see people get saved after so many years. You know, we pray for my father-in-law. He's 88 years old. He just trusted the Lord about two years. What is the statistics of older people getting saved? You know, I don't know. Pastor the Lord, he's going to church now. He's going to Shalom Baptist Church, you know, with the Chinese ministry. Sunday. You know, sometimes we see how the Lord works. It's marvelous. My mother-in-law came and stayed with us first time around. She too got saved before she passed away. Now we thank God that both my in-laws are saved. My mother and father were saved, they are saved too. My mother is still around. My mother is about 84. So you see, there is powerful salvation here. Look at verses 6 to 11 of chapter 12 of Acts. The Bible is recording for us some very dynamic things right here in verses 6 to 11 of Acts chapter 12. And when Herod will be brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up, Peter, quickly." And his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And he did, and he said unto him, "Cast thy garment around about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true, because which was done of the angels, and thought he saw a vision. Verse 10, when they were passed the first and the second ward, and came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of its own accord, they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angels departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angels and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews." When the church prayed, my friend, God heard them and God answers their prayer. It's as simple as that. But then if you look at 6 to 11, it's like telling a very wonderful story, too good to be true. Door opened by itself. The soldiers was guarding, but they walked past and the soldier didn't even see them. You know, what kind of thing is that, you know? Very hard to find it from a Bible, right? But the Bible records that and every word is true. You know that God can move the omnipotent, your prayer can move the omnipotent hands of God to do things on behalf of his people. You know, ordinary people us can touch the hand of the extraordinary God, and then extraordinary things can happen. I'm not talking like the charismatic, all right? I believe in the prayer answering miracle working God, still powerful as it was in the past. And you ought to bring back that spirit that God is answering our prayer. Our God is powerful. He's not just a story that reserved in the Bible. He's coming out alive. In your life and in my life, in the church life, and it is still possible today. You know, sometimes when we preach something like this, people say, "Hey, this guy is a charismatic, he preached like that." No! We preach like that because we know that God is yesterday, today, forever the same. He answered our prayer. He answered prayer in the past. What makes you think he can answer prayer in the presence? I believe so. And you know what? That was powerful. We see that there was salvation. Peter was delivered, and there was powerful surprises. Look at verses 12 to 17. And when he had considered this thing, he came unto the house of Mary, the mother of John, and whose surname was Mark, and where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gates, and the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. Verse 14, and when he knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter had answered stood before the gate. In verse 15, and they said unto him, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, and they said, it is his angel." That means he's dead. The first reaction was, cannot be true. The second reaction is, oh boy, he's dead. Now his angels is coming to give us the news. All right? But yet they were praying by faith, right? Now you say, how could the reaction of these people be the reaction of a group of people praying by faith? Peter was released from prison. He went to the house where the church had met for prayers. He knocked at the gate. Rhoda came out and see who was there and what happened. She heard a voice and she recognized it was Peter's voice. Ran in to tell the rest of the prayer warrior there. They didn't believe her. They assumed that he was dead, and it was the guiding angels at the gate. You know, the Jew believed that every person had the guiding angels that could assume that person's form, you know, for poor Peter. I think it was Warren Wiersbe who once said this, all right? God could get Peter out of the prison, but you couldn't get Peter into the prayer meeting. we are just very, very ordinary people. But at very, very trying time, we raise to the challenge, we go down to our knees and try to ask the omnipotent God to do something for us. Yeah, we're still human, you know. I mean, we still sometimes react in a very human way. God, forgive us. But it is this humanity in us that make our prayer so wonderfully experienced. I mean, we all have our needs, we all have our shortcomings, and we go down to knees and say, God, you know, I may not be much. I cannot do a lot of things. I have all my faults and all my problems, you know, and I get into a lot kind of trouble with people. But you know, God, please, I have a brother in need. Help him. Love of God was moved by the prayer of these frail people with a lot of limitations. God looked past their reaction because really he's just a human being. God saw their pure faith, pure love, pure concern for their brethren. And you know what? Isn't that what it comes down to when we pray? And I want to encourage you, please pray for missions. Please pray that a stronghold that is stopping missionaries to go out, people who respond to the call to go out, that God will break through and there will be more people responding to the call. We need a lot of co-laborers out there. You know, the sad thing is that many times we're not doing things for each other. Sometimes it's not because of doctrinal things. Sometimes it's over petty differences. We need to see the bigger picture in missions. We need to realize that, hey, there is a world out there that needs to be saved. People need to go out to do the work. We're going to do whatever we can to support this kind of endeavor. Because, you see, even in the work that we do in Myanmar, there are very few independent Baptists doing the work out there. Even the number of people you know of doing out there, there are only a touch. Millions of people there. That's Myanmar. And look at the billions of people. How many independent Baptists are being represented there? When God's people pray, God will do something. Need a breakthrough, my friend. And I just want to close by saying this. We need to get hold of the Lord. We need to do so not only as individual, but as corporately, as a church. We need to examine our heart to make sure that nothing in us, that is going to stop the Lord from answering our prayer. Right with our brethren, we need to seek the Lord as a family, as a church. We need to call upon God by faith. And you know what? We need to believe that God can do a lot of things to us. And today, we need to hold hands together and serve the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that we are frail. All problems, all difficulties, yet today, Lord, we have been challenged to pray as a church, and particularly to pray for missions, to pray for God's servants, to pray for breakthrough, to pray for the world to have the gospel witness, to pray for workers, to pray for people that will do their part so that the world, particularly in Asia, can be systematically evangelized. Give us men and women of God that will respond to the call. Give us churches that will believe in missions and give to missions and pray for missions and will do whatever they can to support missions. Open the doors where there will be the unity of spirits, the oneness of thoughts. And Lord, bless us as we do what we can for the salvation of souls. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name.
Close, I think last week. How many of you can remember what I preached last week? I think the pastor Mark before this, but remember Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, the Lord's instruction. Pray therefore a lot of the harvest. One of the most important things I mentioned, I think one of the things that I believe God wants ambassador to be is a praying church. I think a praying church, things can get done. Spiritually, our families can change, our hearts can change, the church can be strong. We need to actually remember this. Let's just close in word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have in hearing the ministry, Lord, of the work. For we sing a closing hymn to challenge our own hearts. Father, we pray that you help us to remember, Father, the regions beyond, the people, Lord, that need Christ. And yet, Lord, we just need you to search deep into our hearts. Because it is vain, Lord, to call us to love the world when we stop loving you. Eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. God wants us to pray. Do you have a heart for it? Are there things in your life, sins, unresolved things? No, we can pray. But unless we are willing to deal with ourselves before God, our prayer will have no effectiveness. Is there someone who said, Pastor Johnny, God has spoken to my heart about this area. Could be about missions, could be about prayer, but some area in your heart that you knew you have to deal with God. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. God has spoken to me in some area. Pray that I will be able to make a decision, that I will make a decision to commit this area to the Lord so that God can work in my heart. Again, is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Is there some hindrance, some sin? I say again, I think it's so important. It is vain for us to want to hear missions and go when we have stopped loving the Lord Jesus himself. In any area, it could be a big area, small area, but we just find it hard to let that area go. Someone said, Pastor, pray for me, that God will help me. Is there someone like that? Is there someone like that? Father, we thank you for what you're going to do through Ambassador Baptist Church. Father, we know that without you moving in our lives, without us coming together to pray, there will be no effectiveness, Lord. We are thankful that there are probably literally thousands of prayer warriors all over this world that are praying for missions, praying for the work of God. But Father, we're not interested in them. I believe you're interested in us, that we, Lord, respond in the right way, the way that will honor you. We thank you for hopefully opening our eyes. Help us as Singaporeans, Lord, to sometimes just stop looking at ourselves. Because God, we spend our whole life doing what we want. But as believers, I believe you want us to just lift up our eyes to the fields. I pray, Lord, that you start that work in our hearts just by praying. Help us, Lord, to pray. Father, I pray for Friday nights, we will be full. That we will have a heart to come as a church to pray. For missions, for our loved ones who are not saved. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Let's sing this closing hymn, Lord, to anchor our thoughts. We pray, Lord, that we'll respond in our hearts to pray. And as we pray, Lord, to be convicted, Lord, if there's someone you're calling, I ask you to open that heart that they may go to. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.